Our subject this morning is entitled, The Importance of Reminders. The Importance of Reminders. And I appreciate the reading of the Word a few moments ago, 2 Peter chapter 1, looking at verses 12 through 15. I am reminded, as of this past Wednesday, as I was driving towards the hospital, and later to go to Pinecrest to speak in their chapel. And as I was driving, I'm trying to figure out up or down 94 towards the loop. Wednesday morning was a beautiful morning. The air was crisp. The sky and the heavens were as blue could be. The sun was brilliant. And as I was noticing all of these things driving, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 came to my mind. God created the heavens and the universe. God reminded me there all of a sudden as I was driving towards the hospital that He is in charge. Isn't that a neat reminder of the things of God? Also, many of you understand what it means to be reminded of biblical truth. For example, any good teacher realizes the value of repetition or reminders. And research has shown to us that after an hour, when you have sat through a message, within an hour, it is potentially possible for you to lose up to 90% of what you were given in that time. And I was thinking about that. You know, we are very short on memory. We're very short on keeping things in our mind. So reminders are important. Reminders are necessary. I also was thinking about, I know that God knows this. Because in the passage, the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 6 and verse 4, the Lord says this, notice, you're very familiar with the passage. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate. Now notice, the writer was writing to people thousands of years ago and reminding them of things that they need to do. And isn't it neat? And isn't it just like God to remind us today, thousands of years later, that we are to put these things in our hearts. We are to teach these things. We are to talk about them in the morning, at noon, and in the evening, and at bedtime. We are to take these things and use them in such a way that we're constantly doing them. And so, I want to show you from God's Word, in the book of 2 Peter, how that Peter is so interested in making sure we are reminded of the great truths of the Lord. But at the same time, he is also wanting to extend that, to help us to see there's more. So notice with me, when Peter, in verse 12, he puts aside the doctrine of salvation, and he addresses the importance of reminding us of some of the great truths that sometimes we're not familiar with. And to illustrate my point in verse 5, Peter says, for this reason being because of all the God-given blessings that he has given to us. For example, in verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says that in him, that is in his divine power, referring to Jesus, he's given us everything pertaining to salvation and everything pertaining to living the godly life here upon this earth. What a reminder that is for you and me to remember everything pertaining to salvation, God has given it to us. And everything pertaining to life upon this earth, living it as he would desire us to. It is there. These are remembrances that are good for all of us. And so Peter says, listen, remember these things. But then he says, add to your faith. Add to your faith. And he says, add moral excellence. And to moral excellence, add knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Now notice, the Apostle Peter understood the importance of reminding one another of these great truths. So in verse 12, the Apostle says, therefore. And he refers back to these great doctrines, the doctrine of salvation that's so clear in verses 1 through 4, and also the doctrine of the blessings of the assurance of our salvation in verses 5 through 11. Now notice again, these are subjects, salvation and assurance. These are subjects, these are doctrines that are so important. They must not be forgotten. And so Peter, in his own self, begins to remind us of those things over and over and over again. You see, Peter did not want the readers to forget their salvation experience. And Peter did not want those that are his readers to forget the wonderful blessings of the assurance that I have eternal life. And so in verse 12, Peter says, for this reason, I will not neglect, the ESV says, I intend always to remind you. Now notice there, I will not be negligent in reminding you, Peter is saying to his readers, of these wonderful doctrines of salvation and the assurance that we have in salvation. And so Peter says, I will. And what caught my attention was, he puts this in the future tense. I will. And two thoughts comes to my mind. Peter is referring and he's addressing those of his day. And he says, listen, I will continuously remind you every opportunity that God gives to me of this wonderful salvation that we have, as well as the doctrine of assurance. So Peter was addressing those there, but what caught my attention is this. No, because we have God's wonderful word that you got in your lap, isn't it amazing? Peter this morning is reminding you and me of these great, wonderful doctrines of salvation and the assurance that we have that we are going to heaven. Praise God for that. You see, the Apostle Peter, he understood the importance of reminding brothers and sisters of the great doctrines. His readers, though, were something special, just like you guys are. And this is what is so amazing to me, at least. Because the ones that Peter is speaking to are men and women that not only know these doctrinal truths, but they're firmly planted in. Am I ringing? See if you can help me out there. I am ringing, and I see that some of you are ringing also. So kind of lower it down. Now notice again, Peter understands the people that he's writing to and speaking to. They know these great truths, but not only do they know them, they are firmly planted in them. And here's the amazing thing to me. Peter understood that it's just as important to remind those that are deeply involved in the Word. Isn't that amazing? Peter does not just speak to those that are novices or those that are just maybe halfway there, you might say. He is speaking to all of us, no matter how in-depth we are. It's important, Peter is saying, to be reminded of these great doctrinal truths. Matter of fact, Peter says, if I fail to do that, then I am guilty of negligence. So Peter reminds us of these great truths. But let me remind you that Peter is not the only teacher of the Word of God that does that. Notice the Apostle Paul. Paul knew that it was necessary to remind the folks of the truth of God. For example, in Philippians 3 and verse 1, Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, but it is a safeguard for you. You see, Paul also was reminding the people that he's working with of all of these great truths. And he says, it's not a problem for me to remind you. It's a safeguard for you. That word safeguard means not to stumble. It means not to trip or not to be overthrown. The Apostle Paul also realized how important to remind people of the great truths of God is important. But not only did Peter, not only did Paul remind the recipients of this wonderful salvation of those blessings, but Jude also sought to remind his readers of what they once knew. In other words, it is easy for some of us sometimes to forget. The reminders are so great. As brothers and sisters in Christ, as our pastor, Pastor Mark and Pastor Aaron, they are reminding the missionary pastors there of some of these things. And those men need that reminder. We do too. Let me just add this. There is no such thing as brand new spiritual truth. May I say that again? There is no such thing as new spiritual truth. What God has given is what we have in Holy Scripture. Now, there are some in our day that will disagree with that. They will say that God is continually given or giving spiritual truth. Jude says in Jude 3 that there is no new revelation from God. Notice what we have is right here. I wanted to make sure that we could say that. And I was reminded last week. Now let me remind you. Or let me put you to the test. Last week, Pastor Mark preached out of what book? Well, we know it was the book of Matthew. What chapter? More than likely, we know that it was chapter 5. But do you remember verse 18? Click, click, click. Well, verse 18 is designed to show us that everything that was taught in the Old Testament is the very thing is taught in the New Testament regarding salvation. Matthew 18 says that not one jot, not one tittle of this Word of God will pass away. Isn't that amazing? The consistency of what God has established for you and me. As I look and I think about the wonderful things that God has given to us, I'm always amazed. And as we preach and as we teach God's Word and as we obey the Word of God, The scriptures of the word are reminding the people of God of all the things that he is doing in your life and in my life. Now then, why is it necessary? Why is reminders so important? There are two reasons that come out of our text that I'd like to share with you this morning. Why are reminders so important? First of all, it is because of the potential of denying God. May I remind you that Peter denied the Lord? Do you remember? So the first reason that stands out why reminders are so important is that it's because it's so easy for us to walk away from God. In Luke chapter 22, we have a fantastic story. Let me read part of this to show to you Peter's life. In Luke 22, in verse 31, notice what we have. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fall. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now notice Peter's response. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Verse 34, Jesus says, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you have denied me three times. Now let me jump forward in verse 54. This is after Jesus had been arrested. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courthouse and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him, as he sat by the fire, looking intently at him, and said, this man was also with him. But he denied, saying, woman, I do not know him. First denial. And after a while, another saw him and said, you are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidentially affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. You know the rest of the story, how Peter left. My point is this, why is it so important to remind brothers and sisters? Why is it so important for the pulpit to remind us that it is so easy to deny Jesus Christ? Peter knew firsthand that even as believers grounded in the truth, can wander away from the Lord. Notice, he did. Peter literally did that. He went away from Christ, not once, not twice, but three times. In spite of the fact that Jesus had warned him not to go. He denied Jesus. The potential is so real for you and for me today. The potential for denying Jesus Christ is at all of our doors. And I would like to challenge you to understand that Peter understood how important it is that we remind one another that we are to be the men and women of God that obey him and walk with him. Because it's so easy for me to take my eyes off of Christ and go in the ways of the world, as Peter did. And there's not a one of us here this morning that could not be put in a position that we too would deny the Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the reasons that's imperative for us to realize, why is it so important to give reminders? It is to help us. It is to make us more and more aware that sin knocks on our door almost all the time. And so Peter says, though I think that it's right on my part, in verse 13, the first phrase, to stir up your minds. To stir up means to arouse. It means to awaken. Now physically, when we're asleep, we know what that means. Let me give you an example. Dave's going to laugh at this. It's not about Dave. It's about Aaron. About 3 years ago, the staff, Pastor Mark, Pastor Dave, Pastor Aaron, and myself went to California for a conference. Aaron was relatively new on staff, so we didn't know each other that well. He and I were partners. We had the same room. The next morning, you have to remember, we're in California. It's already warm. In my room, I'm covered up from head to toe. I mean, it's zero in that room. And I'm like a bear. I am covered up and I'm walled up and I am resting in my hibernation. Aaron got so afraid, he could not arouse me. He could not awake me. Now, I don't remember any of this. I think it's all story. Now, you have to know Aaron. When he gets excited, watch out. He thought I was dead, and he said, Jerry, I didn't know what I was going to tell Ann. You get the gist of being the way Peter is stimulating the folks to awaken them, not from physical sleep, but from spiritual sleep. We as God's children can't be sluggish spiritually. We must be on the alert. We must have a clear head regarding the spiritual things. What a wonderful reality for us to know this morning. Why is it important to give reminders to one and to the other? It is because all of us are so susceptible to sin and to temptation. Notice secondly, the second reason in the text why it is so important to give reminders is because of Peter's coming death. I'm still ringing. I don't know if you can adjust that or not. But Peter, his death is near. And one reason Peter was so eager to remind his readers was the fact that he was dying. It was at the door, that is his death. It was there. Notice in verse 14 we read, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent. Let me give you just an idea of what he's talking about there. The tent that he's talking about is his earthly dwelling, his physical body. Just like you and I, our physical body is our tent. We live in this physical body. This is our tent. And let me remind you also that, you know, for the people of Israel, they were nomadic-type people, at least semi-nomadic. They wandered around here and there. And as they traveled, the 12 tribes would be in a certain way. And as they camped at night, there was a certain order for the 12 tribes to be in. And then right in the center of that will be the tabernacle. And the Shekinah glory, the cloud of the Shekinah glory, the presence of God would abide over that tabernacle. And every tribe could see the tabernacle. Now notice, as long as the cloud was stationary over it, the people would remain. But when the cloud would leave, they would follow. And when they left, they would have to untie the ropes from the pins and pull the pins up and put the tent down, fold it up, and prepare to leave. Now notice with me. Peter was in his temporary house. And verse 14, Peter's death was stated as near. And Peter describes it as laying aside his tent. In other words, this physical body will deteriorate and it will be gone. I might remind you that Peter is in his 70s at this time. And if you recall, when Jesus was still on the earth and Jesus was working with Peter, and when he met with him and he spoke to him three times and said, "Peter, do you love me?" Let me remind you, Jesus told him then that, "Peter, you're going to die, and you're going to die the death that I have given." In other words, Peter would be crucified. And you know, Peter lived for 30 to 40 years knowing one day he's going to die, and he's going to die like the Lord did. I have thought over the last week, several days, just knowing all of the opportunities for that to happen, Peter must have thought, "Is this the day? Is this the day?" But God has granted him long life. He's in his 70s. Time is near. And so Peter was relentlessly diligent to remind believers of truth, so that any time after his departure, they would recall these truths of scriptures, these great doctrines that God had given, and they would be reminded. And my friends, again, I'll allude to the fact that here Peter is today reminding you and me that it's important to remind each other to walk in the paths of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And it's important because one day we too will die. Peter describes his leaving as a departure. It's a Greek word that simply means to depart one place, that is earth, and go to another place, that which would be heaven. Again, he wants to leave behind a testimony to remind the saints of the greatness of salvation and the greatness of the assurance that we have in that reality. May I pause for just a moment? One of the neatest things in my own personal life is that assurance of salvation. I know that I'm going to heaven based upon this right here. That is something that I know, and I have, for some reason, I've never doubted. I know, and I also know that going to heaven is not because of me. It is in spite of me. Peter wants to remind us of these things. Let me also remind you, too, that truth always needs to be repeated. And one of the reasons, again, is because our bodies, our life upon this earth is short. And Paul also understood this great principle of reminding others. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 5, he said, "Do you not remember that when I was still with you, Thessalonians, I told you these things?" Now the verb "I told" is in the tense of that verb, demonstrates a continuous action. So it would be like this. The Apostle Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, "Listen, I told you over and over and over about these things." You see, ladies and gentlemen, not only did Peter understand, but also Paul understood the importance of reminding one another of the wonderful truths of God. Because one, our sin nature We can walk and wander into the areas of sin so easily. And secondly, our time upon this earth is short. Not only did Peter and not only did Paul, but once again, Jude. Because in Jude 5, he says, "Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it." Now the subject I'm not going to bring up, that's beside the point. I just want you to see that Jude was also reminding his readers of the truths of God. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter how much truth believers have heard, or how spiritually mature we might be, we still need the reminders. And in my closing remarks, let me summarize it like this. I was thinking, how can I challenge you? And I thought about all of you parents. Mothers, let me share with you. How inundated are you? Miss Amanda, do you remind your child? Let's pluralize it. Your children, do you remind them on a regular day basis? All of you other moms, now pick on the moms because they're the ones that really do a lot of work in that area. And I'd look at all of you moms. Look at the work that you do in reminding your children of the great truths of God. Truths such as obey your parents, love your siblings, love your brothers and sisters. Fathers and mothers, let me just remind you. Remind your children over and over. And as your children grow into the teenage, parents, let me remind you. Remind your teenagers of the wonderful truths of God, because they're so susceptible to walk away from those truths in that period of time. Remind them over and over. And then, looking at the husbands and wives, let me challenge you. My wife took me by the hand this morning as I was preparing to come here, and she was praying with me that being right here. I don't mind being right here. I don't mind that at all. It's just that my heart goes. You have to understand that for 40 years, doing it every Sunday, that's okay. But doing it every once in a while, ooh, Lord, where are you? And Ann said, "Jerry, he's right here." And I appreciate that. You see, she was reminding me of the presence of the Lord God Almighty and all of the wonderful things that he has done for me and all the ways that he has guided, guarded, and directed me over 74 years. Wow. Husbands and wives, let me remind you. Remind each other of the preciousness of the wonderful promises, as Peter says in verse 4 of this first chapter of the second book. Peter says that we have been given exceeding and great and precious promises. Wow. Husbands and wives, remind each other. Why? Because of our sin nature, we are so susceptible to walking away from God into sin. Let me remind you this morning, husbands and wives, not only talk, but remind each other of the wonderful, wonderful truth of salvation. And as I already alluded to, one of the greatest blessings for me is the assurance of that. I know that I know. And we speak of those things, one with the other. Husband, take your wife by the hand. Wife, take your husband by the hand and talk of these wonderful things that God has given. There's one other group that I'd like to challenge. I'm in that group because I'm like Peter. My time is near. I will be departing. And a lot of you are like I am, and we're like Peter. This body, this tent that we live in, has grown old. This body is fading. The ropes are loose. There's holes in this body, like a physical tent that's old. And this morning I want to remind you, you may be alone. Maybe you're not. But may I remind you that you and I too are very susceptible to walk away into sin, even at our age. And so we want to encourage you by reminding you of the wonderful blessings of God, even in old age. The psalmist says in Psalms 92 and verse 12, that even in old age, we'll be green with sap. That doesn't mean what it is. Full of sap. That means the ability to grow and produce. I'm amazed that God still uses you and me as older people. But just like Peter, he had already packed his bags. He was ready to go. And I want to ask you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that fall into this category of being older. It's time. Our time is near. I can say it like this. I have less time to live today than I did 50 years ago. That makes it clear, right? But I always kid my wife. I said, I'll still be here. Don't worry. What a wonderful, wonderful reality of reminders are. And this morning, I remind you last of all, if you happen to be here, if you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ, and you've never received that wonderful gift, and you're sitting there and you do not have the assurance that you were to die right now, you don't know where you would go. If that happens to be you, let me remind you of what God's Word says. And God's Word says, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand all the mechanics sometimes, but I do understand the words that God says. And God says, this is what I will give you. Don't try to take it and digest it to the point that you understand all of it. You'll never understand. But by faith, trust in Jesus to take you to heaven. What a wonderful privilege it is for you and I as God's children to remind other people that God sent His only begotten Son to this world that we might have life and we might have it abundantly. Do you have that abundant life this morning? If you don't, in just a moment we'll have our invitation. And you're welcome to come, and we'll share with you what the Word of God, not what I say, but what the Word of God says about life that's eternal, and it's offered to you, and to you, and to you. Would you bow your heads, please? As I pray, may I ask you to look carefully. What are those areas of life that you need to be reminded? You need to be reminded to be a child of God that's obedient in all those facets that we have mentioned. Just ask the Lord, Lord, remind me what I need to do right here today. Father, indeed, we are grateful. As Peter taught us the wonderful, wonderful privilege of what you have done for us, the many, many exceeding and great promises that you, Father, have given to us. And they're all found in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you for saving so many of these people here today. And we remind each other of that wonderful privilege. And I thank you, Father, for reminding me over and over again the assurance that I have of spending heaven with you. What a joy, what a privilege, and a great excitement that comes from knowing that when we do depart, that is, when we leave this physical body, what a glorious day that will be. And so this morning, Father, I ask that you bless these people. Give to them the desire to follow you. For I pray this in Christ's name.